can think of no better way than to begin the day or end the day in a study of God's Word and spending time with those of like precious faith. It is good to be back with you for the health that we enjoy and for this time to sing songs of praise unto God. We hope that the things that are done here will be edifying to each and every one of us, that we might learn something from the Word of God, and that we might follow that pattern that is set forth for us in the Word of God. We want to take some time this evening to talk about Jesus Christ as being the perfect example that we have to follow. One of the things that we hear in our society today is that children need role models. They need those that they can look to and strive to imitate. And we have seen both the positive and negative aspects of that, of the athletes that are in the world and the things that they do and the kind of lives that they live. And we hope sometimes that our children do not follow in their steps. And yet we see some of the things that they do that would be we very much would like for them to follow. And role models are very important for each and every one of us, whether we're children, whether we're teenagers or young adults, or even as we are older. We as Christians have several examples that we can look to in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. And we have a great number of examples found in the Bible that we might pattern our life after, both good and we also can learn things from those negative or those bad examples. We can look to the faith that Abraham had. We want to strive to imitate that faith in that he listened to God, that God told him to pick up what he had and go to another country, and he would tell him there where he was to go. We see the faith of Abraham would want to imitate it in that he was willing to even give his own son as a sacrifice unto God because God told him to do that. We can see also the examples of the purity of life and the forgiveness that's found in the man Joseph in the Old Testament. Many times he had an opportunity to do that which was immoral, and yet he did not do that, clinging to the Word of God, the forgiveness that is demonstrated in his life toward his brothers. We also could copy the pattern of the courage of a Daniel or a David as they stood for the truth. They stood on the side of God. Or we could see the love of John or the sacrifices that were made by the Apostle Paul. We're all encouraged to see these examples in the Word of God. We are urged to imitate them. And it is not wrong for us to strive to do that, to strive to imitate, to be like those that are found in God's Word. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 says there that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Those that have been faithful unto God, imitate them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, be ye imitators of me as I am also of Christ. It's not wrong for us to look to these individuals and to strive to pattern our life and to see the things that they are doing and go and try to be like them as they were pleasing in the sight of God. But as we look to them, there's something that we need to keep in mind. A word of caution needs to be sounded. And that is, these individuals were human. And they did those things that were wrong. All and every one of them, in one way or another, sinned in the sight of God. They fell short of God's commandments at one time or another in their life. But this should not discourage us. Rather, this should encourage us, knowing that here were people who did those things that were wrong, yet as they sought the forgiveness of God, turned back to him, God forgave them, and they were pleasing in the sight of God. And knowing that they were able to do that, we also know when we fall short, we can have forgiveness of God as we strive to do those things that please him. In all the wonderful saints that we have and we can read about in God's Word, there is one, though, that is the perfect example. He is the one that we want to talk about this evening. Jesus Christ, the perfect example. Because he is perfect in everything that he has done. He is perfect. There is no area in his life in which there is a weakness. He did not sin. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet was without sin." He was tempted in every way that you and I are. He was tempted in whatever way that might come to us. He was approached in temptation in that way, yet he did not yield to temptation. He did not sin. And other examples that we have before us, there are points of weakness. There are sins in their life, but not so in Jesus Christ. Whatever we can see him do, whatever we read about him, we can rest assured that if we follow in his steps, we're going to find favor in the sight of God. We are going to be pleasing before him. God has given unto Christ all the authority in heaven and on earth. That means he has authority over you and over me. He has the right to command us to do whatever he would have us to do. And we are to obey him so that we might be pleasing in the sight of God. But the commandments of God, as we find them in the New Testament, these things are not burdensome. These things are not grievous, although sometimes we might think that they are. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It is good for us to realize that in all the commandments that Christ has issued unto mankind, all of these instructions that he has given for us to follow, that he just didn't give us these commandments without an example to follow. He also, along with those commandments, along with those instructions, has left us a perfect pattern in himself to show us how we might accomplish the obedience, in obedience unto these commandments. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter says, therefore, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. But not only in suffering is he our great example, but in all that which is falls into the cause of righteousness, the pathways of righteousness that has been given by God. In all of these things, he is a perfect example. Whatever he would have us to do, he doesn't just command us to do that, but he shows us how it is to be done. We want to talk about some of those areas this evening. Now, Jesus Christ is a perfect pattern for us in several things that maybe from time to time we have difficulty with in our own life. Yet, as following him, we can see how to accomplish what God wants us to do. Christ is the perfect example before us, the perfect pattern in obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, we have the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews making this comment concerning Christ. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We see then that he is the perfect example in obedience. That though he were the Son of God, though he were God in the flesh, that did not exempt him from obeying the will of the Father. Now, I think I can say with you that there are times in our lives that come when even as Christians, we just don't feel that compelling drive to be obedient unto God. There are times, I believe, that come in each life that we kind of say, I want to do things my way. I want to be the one out in the lead rather than the one that is following. I want to make something convenient for me, something that is easy for me. I know what the Word of God says, and I know that I should be obedient unto it. But that's so hard sometimes. I want to do things my way. I don't want to follow. I want to lead. There are times when we do want to do things our way, where we want to approach it in an easy way. We don't want to sacrifice as we ought to in obedience unto God. We want to take charge of our own life sometimes, it seems. I think I can safely say there are those moments in our lives that arises, that we look at the commandments of God and we think how difficult it would be to give in to that when all the pressures of the world and society would want us to do something else. We just don't feel that drive to be obedient unto the Father in heaven. If you've ever had times like that, then what we need to do is recall the obedience of Jesus Christ. Think about the time that he was in the garden and he was praying unto the Father. knowing that in a few short hours his life would be taken from him, and the agonizing death that he was going to have to go through. And he prayed to God that if this cup could pass from him, he would like that. He would like to forego this death. He would like to forego this agony and suffering that he had to go through in order to be obedient unto the will of the Father. He asked the God in heaven if he could forego that. But yet he said, not my will done. Not my will, but thy will. The will of the Father. He was obedient even unto death, the things that the Father wanted him to do. He didn't count his life as being all that precious. He recognized that if man was going to have salvation, he was going to have to do what God said. He was going to, even though a son, have to be obedient. And Jesus, as we consider him, is absolutely no doubt, if we believe the things that are written in the New Testament, that he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is deity. John 1 and verse 1 says there, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says that he dwelt in the flesh, this God, this Word. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 talks about the same thing. John 8 and verse 58, as he is speaking to the Jews there concerning things that he was going to do, he made the statement, before Abraham was, I am. He established himself with the God of the children of Israel. He says, I am that God. There's absolutely no doubt. He is deity. He was the Son of God and is the Son of God. Yet in all of this, he did not think that he did not have to obey the commandments of God. As God, we might think that of him. We might think that all he had to do was dictate laws. All he had to do was tell man what he must do in order to have salvation, but that he himself was not under any obligation of obedience. Well, that's not the case. Even as the Son, he was obligated to obey the will of the Father. In everything, he shows us the perfect pattern. And obedience to the will of the Father in heaven is absolutely no example, or no exception. In John 6 and verse 38, he makes the statement, and he does this several times in the book of John, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And again, as he is praying in the garden in Matthew 26 and 42, your will be done. He was willing to even die upon the cross of Calvary so that he might be obedient to the Father. And as a result of his obedience, we can see that God has seated him at his right hand. In Acts 2 and verse 36, Peter concludes the sermon there on the day of Pentecost with these words. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. The writer of the book of Hebrews says in the first chapter in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. As a result of his obedience, as a result of being the perfect example for us, God gave him that position of honor. And there is a promise that is made to each and every one of us as followers of Christ, that when we are obedient unto the will of God, there is a promise that we also can be with him throughout all eternity. When that great day comes and we have the day of judgment and we are judged before God, then we have the promise that in our obedience unto his will, we can be with him. He is then this perfect pattern, the perfect example for us to follow in obedience, because he set his own will aside so that he could please God the Father. He is a perfect pattern also, as we look at his life, that of prayer. I think as we read through the gospel accounts, one of the things that we are struck with is that Jesus was a praying individual. There are 25 times made reference in the gospel accounts of prayer in connection with Jesus. And again, we would think the Son of God would would not have to do that so much. But we find him being that example. And on several occasions we find that. As he is about to select those individuals that would be his disciples, those that would later become the apostles, he spent time in prayer unto God before that very important thing. In the garden, again, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, he prayed for others. And even in his healing of individuals, we find that he prayed unto God. He prayed unto God before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He taught his followers how they ought to pray also. He taught them how to pray. He taught them that what was proper to pray for, and through whose name they also ought to pray, by whose authority, what they ought to pray for. Here is an example then for us in our lives for a pattern to follow. And that is the Son of God. That is Jesus Christ and his prayer life, we might say. We find in Luke chapter 18 the prayer of the Pharisees there, and we recognize one thing, that not all prayer is acceptable in the sight of God. And this is a concept that many people have, or a wrong concept that many people have in the religious world. That as long as you are sincere, then God's going to hear your prayer. That as long as you are striving to be honest, then it really doesn't matter maybe what you pray for, maybe your spiritual condition. As long as you are sincere, God's going to hear that prayer and God's going to answer that prayer. But that's not the case. The Pharisee is a good example for us here of a negative example of this not of this being true. There are two great sources that we have as Christians of spiritual strength that's made available to us. Two great sources of strength. One is this book that we have before us, the Word of God. This is a great source of strength and comfort. Peace comes from that. We learn the way of salvation. This is the spiritual food upon which we feast as we grow spiritually. That's one source of strength. But the other source of strength is our prayer unto God. And as we can see in the life of Jesus, this is one thing that he received from his prayer, was that he was able to face the temptations that were before him. He was able to endure even that horrible death because of prayer, because of the strength that he received from it. In this most important area in the life of someone who is striving to follow Christ, Christ is that perfect example. Perfect example of prayer. We need to imitate him. He is also a perfect example in love. This is a part of our lives that as Christians will distinguish us from everybody else in the world. The love that we have for God sets us apart. There are those in the world who love the world and want to follow the pattern that is there. And our love for God and the love that we demonstrate in our life sets us apart. It set Christ apart. It set him apart from everybody else, from all the other teachers that were there, from the things that were even spoken of in the Old Testament. It set him apart from that. He is the absolute perfect example for us in this area of love. In John chapter 15, he speaks there of love. He is talking to his disciples, and in verse 9 he says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father has loved me," he says, "that is the same way that I have love for you." Willing to give up his life, the sacrifice that he made. In verse 12 and 13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And that's exactly what he did. He demonstrated his love. He just didn't talk about it. He didn't say, "I just have the kind of love my Father has, and I want you to have that same kind of love." He demonstrated it. He showed it in this perfect example. In verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." This sets us apart. And Christ is the perfect example. If we want to know how we are to love one another, then we look at the example before us in Jesus Christ and the love that he demonstrated for us. He demonstrated his love, Christ did, in a variety of ways. One of the things were in the performing of the miracles while he was upon the face of the earth. Because as he looked about at the multitudes on several occasions, it said he had compassion upon them. He had compassion upon those individuals that were bound up in physical sicknesses and ailments. He had compassion upon them. He loved them and wanted them to be free from that. And in this love and in the power that he had, he set them free from that. He saw them hunger and he fed them. In all of these things, he is that perfect pattern. In his parables as he is teaching, that of the Good Samaritan sets forth before us, who is our neighbor? Which was the question concerning, which brought up this parable. Who is my neighbor? It shows love. And who was that neighbor? What is Christ saying is, the one that shows the love one toward the other. Of course, his greatest demonstration of love was the giving of his life on the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave his life. He was willing to do that so that we might be free from our sins. Those things that enslave us, those things that bring about our spiritual death, he died to set us free from those because of the love that he had. John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his own life for his friends. The greatest demonstration of love is seen in him. He is the perfect pattern in this way for us to follow. And whenever we may have some questions concerning the love in our life and we ought to demonstrate it one for another, look at the perfect pattern. Look at Jesus Christ and what he did to help us be obedient to his commands. He left us a perfect pattern to follow. But he is also a perfect pattern in service. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. He makes this statement there. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We as Christians have been called into a life of service. And I think we need to understand that from the very beginning. We are called into a life of service. It's not going to be one of ease or a bed of roses where we sit back and do nothing at all and all of our needs and desires are furnished by God without us lifting a hand. That is not what we have been called into. It is a life of service. It is not an exalted position above all other people on the face of the earth. And this is hard sometimes for some individuals to take. That they don't want to be a servant. They want to elevate themselves above everybody else. They want to lift themselves up because of the pride that they have. Christ is our example of the servant. He is the ultimate example in this. As he is speaking, Peter is to the household of Cornelius. He made this statement in Acts 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. What is he talking about? He's talking about the service that the Son of God rendered unto mankind. That he went about doing good. And as we read just a few moments ago from Matthew 20 and 28, that he was a servant. This is the reason that he came into the world, to serve mankind. And certainly he did this. As we mentioned just a few moments ago, he didn't talk about love. He demonstrated it. Well, he didn't talk about service either. He is the example, the ultimate example of service for each and every one of us to follow. There is no greater servant than Jesus Christ. And we are servants of Christ. Can we expect to be any more than our Master? Can we expect to rise above our Lord? Of course we cannot. As he was a servant, we also have been set apart so that we might serve God. And again, this is something that is difficult for some who are Christians to accept. They don't want to be servants. But Jesus Christ is the ultimate example in this. He is also an ultimate example in the resisting of temptation. Certainly there are times that arise in our lives when we are faced with temptation, and that temptation just seems so very, very strong, doesn't it? It seems like that it is going to overwhelm us in times of weakness, in times of sickness, times of poor health, times that we are tired. Temptation comes when our defenses are at their weakest. We want to yield to those temptations. We want to give in to them. But we are commanded to resist the devil. And when we do, the inspired writer says, he will flee from us. We are told to flee or to run from those things which would be a temptation to us. The commands of God, which tell us to flee temptation, which tell us to resist the devil, also back up those commands by the perfect example of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 11, we find the temptations of Christ. There, when he had been fasting 40 days in the wilderness, it says Satan came unto him and he tempted him. I am convinced, and I think you are too, these are not the only three times in the life of Christ that he was tempted. He was tempted in all ways as we are. I am convinced that the devil approached Christ many times, even after this, to try to get him to do those things that were wrong. Yet he did not yield at any time. Hebrews 4 and 15, he was tempted at all points as we are, yet he was without sin. James in 1 and 14 and 15 tells us that temptation comes from within a person. That's where Christ, we might say, got the jump on temptation. That he did not yield to that from within. When we yield to temptation, it starts from within. That is where the first step toward the yielding of sin and temptation begins. And Christ would not do that. That's the perfect example. We don't give in the heart to this temptation. We have been promised that if we want to, we can resist. We can find that way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also give you the way of escape that you may be able to bear. Too many times we don't look for the way of escape. We yield to it. God will provide us that exit. If we look for it, if we are determined not to give in to it, we don't have to. Christ never did yield to temptation. He did not sin. And in this way, he is the perfect example for each and every one of us to follow. But he's also the perfect example in priorities. That is, getting first things first. Sometimes in our lives, there are things that we allow to get, we allow things to get our spiritual view out of focus. We allow ourselves to be guided by the physical, by the temporary, by the material things in this life, rather than by the spiritual things. It happens to each and every one of us. The worries and the cares, whether it be financial, whether it be with the family, the children, whether it be between husband and wife, whatever it might be, the pressures and the temptations and the cares of this world will cause us to be a little bit out of focus. It's easy to happen. Very easy for us in this world in which we live. And they steal away from us those things that are truly important. Here again, Christ is the perfect example of what we're talking about, of getting priorities straight, of getting the most important things right, both in his words and in his deeds. He speaks in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He was talking about food and clothing, those things that were necessary for life. But he says, first of all, you put God in the first place in your life. And when you do that, all these other things are going to be taken care of. You're going to have them. You're going to have food. You're going to have clothing. God will make sure of that. When you get your priorities straight, then everything else is going to fall in place. In his willingness to give his life upon the cross of Calvary, we see he had his priorities right. In his never compromising of the truth, of the will of the Father, of those commands that he was given, in that we see he had his priorities straight. There is proof that he followed those things that he taught. He was the perfect example in this way. Spiritual matters were the most important thing to our Savior and to our Lord, and they must also be to us. He had his priorities right. He put spiritual matters over those things that were physical. And we can see then in all of these things here, and perhaps in other things that you might think of, he was the perfect example in obedience and in prayer and in love and in service and in resisting temptation, and also in his priorities and putting first things first. This is the example before us. As we mentioned in the very beginning, sometimes we lament over the role models that are before us, the things that we see, the important people that we are told to imitate our life after. But as Christians, the Son of God is the one who is our perfect pattern, and we don't have to lament over that. We can rejoice over the fact that he has not only commanded us, but he has shown us what we are to do. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, loved me and gave himself for me. Paul made the statement, Christ lives in me. Christ directed his life. Christ was the most important thing. Christ was the perfect example that he followed. Christ lives in me, Paul said. Can we say that of ourselves? Can we say that Christ lives in us? There is that perfect example for us to follow. What we need to do is take advantage of it. Take advantage of the example. And whenever we have problems, whenever we have questions about what we ought to do, look at what Christ did. In prayer, in service, in temptations, in priorities, what did he do? He put God first. He was obedient unto the will of the Father. The blood that Christ shed on the cross of Calvary was given so that we might live, so that we might enjoy the wonderful blessings that God would want to bestow upon his children. If you're here this evening and outside of the fold of safety, you don't enjoy those blessings. You don't enjoy the blessing really of prayer, of God hearing your prayers and answering them. You don't enjoy the blessing of the forgiveness of sins. Your sins still stay in your soul and you're separated from God. All of these things are made available through the blood of Christ, through your obedience unto the will of the Father. What did Christ do in obedience to the will of God? He put it first. Everything God wanted him to do, he set his own will aside to be pleasing to the Father. That's what you have to do. You have to take your will, your wants, your desires, and put them aside. Be obedient, just as Christ was. He is not asking you to do any more than he himself has already done. He set his will aside to please God. That's what you must do. Commandments of God are very simple. For those outside of the fold of safety, the faith that you have leads you to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If as a child of God, in some way you've reproached the name of Christ by the life that you've lived, by the actions that you have taken in your life, there's an opportunity here this evening to make that right. Set aside your will. Be obedient just as Christ was. Be obedient to the will of God. Won't you do that as we stand and as we sing?